If you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us today to the 104th division of the Psalms, verse 16. Let me tell you how this came about. Someone came to me and brought me a stick of stove wood and said, "Preacher Darren, I don't know why, but I feel like the Lord wanted me to give this to you." And I said, "Huh, that is interesting." They didn't hit me with it. They didn't threaten me with it. They gave it to me. And at that point in time, it's dried out somewhat, but at that point in time, these purple hues within this wood were very distinct. And I wanted to look today about that. Psalm 104, verse 16. "The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted." I guess we could title the message, "All Bark and No Sap." Father, this morning, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to look into a portion of your word. And Father, we'll be a failure without the Spirit's help today. Lord, we'll need your anointing. We'll need your touch. Fill us, saturate us with the Spirit of God. Help us today to communicate very clearly what the Spirit would have to say to the church. And Lord, let a man examine himself and see whether he be in the faith. Lord, we need this today, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. In 1918, Alfred Joyce Kilmer was killed by a sniper's bullet at the Second Battle of Marne in France. He was 31 years old when he died. He was married and he had 5 children. Only 5 short years before, he wrote something that I learned when I was just in grade school, but it's never escaped my memory. "I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. A tree that looks at God all day and lifts her leafy arms to pray. A tree that may in summer wear a nest of robins in her hair. Upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain. Poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree." In Psalm 104, we see this psalm speaking about the Creator, God, and His creation. In verse 5, it speaks of God laying the foundations of the earth. In verse 9, it speaks about His control of the waters and how He set a boundary that they cannot go over. It speaks of how all creation relies upon God's continued blessing and upon God's provision. In verses 13 and 14, He made all of life, and He alone is the one that sustains life. And in verse 24, the sweet psalmist said, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works." Right in the midst of this chapter, he gives us, "The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted." 5 things that we'll go home. Number 1, I believe we should examine the administrator of the forest. The Lord is obviously the owner of these trees. He is sovereignly in control of these trees. These trees are fitly called the Lord's trees because he is the one that has planted them. No human hand has touched them. No human hands has put them in the ground. There's no accident. There's no coincidence with this. This was specifically designed and planted by the Lord. Do you believe this morning that God is sovereignly in control of all things? He is in control of every breath that you and I take, of every beat of our hearts.
He is sovereignly in control. You may have gotten bad news this week, but it was nothing that God did not already know about. Number two, I want us to see the appearance this morning. The cedars are among the most beautiful trees upon the earth. They are majestic in their appearance, aren't they? They are towering in their stature, and they are enormous as to their girth. I mean, they are huge, gigantic trees, and they are evergreen, which means their leaves never fade away. They are fragrant. I love to smell a cedar tree, don't you? And these trees are found sometimes at 6,000 feet in elevation in Lebanon. And I begin to think about that huge cedar tree when it was just a sapling. There it was on the ground, and maybe there was an old goat that come by. And that old goat could have tried to destroy that young sapling. I believe there's probably been a many old goat destroy a young sapling along the way. But these have been preserved by the Lord. When these cedars were young, the snows upon the top of the mountains would get exceeding deep, and the snow would have completely buried these young trees. But as the warmth began and melting the snow and the cold, frigid climates, the young tree was still there, still growing. Underneath it all, the young tree was preserved by the Lord. These trees, we might say, are unsheltered. These trees are not protected from the storms that come through the area of Lebanon there. I mean, there's lightning storms and oftentimes would be striking all around and great windstorms. Yet these great majestic trees continue to stand preserved by the Lord. That is the appearance of these trees. Number three, I want us to examine the analogy of these trees. These trees that David is speaking about, there is a metaphor here. Preacher Darren, what do you mean? Who do these trees represent? I'm glad you asked. Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." These trees that are full of sap, that are planted by the Lord, are the redeemed of God. I'm preaching in the forest this morning. Amen. I'll give you another example, Preacher Darren. That's an Old Testament example. Let me give you a New Testament example. You remember the blind man that Jesus touched him and said, "Do you see?" He said, "I see men as trees walking." Hallelujah. All right, so these trees, the analogy, there's a personification then of these trees. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. There's a personification because these trees represent you and I. Number four, we're almost done, but we'll slow down a bit. Number four, there is the abundance of sap. Now, certainly the Lord cares for his own, and there is plenty of sap inside of these trees. I want to say a couple of things about this. First of all, the sap is the lifeblood of the tree. If there were not sap within the tree could not flourish, the tree could not exist, the tree could not live. It is alive because of the sap that lies within the tree. What then, Preacher Darren, is the sap representative of? If the trees are a personification of the redeemed of God, what then is the sap? I'm glad you asked. Y'all are full of questions. The sap represents the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that you and I are to be filled with the Spirit. So as the sap is vital to the tree, accordingly the Spirit of God is life and is vital to us. I want to ask you a question. Are you a sappy saint? You filled with the Holy Ghost? Listen, it's just possible that you could attend church faithfully. You could read your Bible. You could be generous to the poor. You could be kind to people. But unless you've truly been born again, you are not one of the Lord's trees. You know, in the forest, there are many kinds of trees that spring up along the way. The Lord's trees here are the example of a cedar tree. That's what we're supposed to be. But I'm certain in the forest, there are a lot of different trees around. Hey, hello, you'll get that in a minute. The sap is the life's blood of the tree. The sap is the beauty of the tree. You know, there's an unseen network in a tree. There's a root system that's working underneath the ground, pulling nourishment that is vital to that tree. That represents the Lord. He is the root out of dry ground. Amen. Everything we are as a tree is all because of the root, which is Jesus Christ. And then that root, as it pulls the nutrients and the minerals from the ground, it pulls it into the tree trunk itself, which inside of it, working unseen, hidden, undisclosed, is the sapwood. And the nutrients and the minerals come to the cells, and the cells carry those nutrients from the root system all the way to the branches, out through the limbs, and even to the leaves, even to the bearing of the fruit. This morning, if you see the forest that is beautiful, or a tree that is precious, that it is gorgeous to look at, you might say then that the sap is the one that has caused it to be sustained. Let me put it like this. The sap leaves no part of the tree unvisited. We might say that the sap makes no difference one to another, but it reaches everybody, every member of that tree to supply it with nutrients. I keep thinking about the beauty of the tree. It was God Almighty that thought it. It was Jesus Christ that bought it. It was the Spirit of God that wrought it. It was the Scripture that taught it. It was the devil that fought it. And it was you and me that got it. Amen. Praise God for what the Spirit of God is to you and I. There is an abundance of sap in a healthy tree. Are you a sappy saint? Or are you all bark and no sap? I asked some of these young men if they would go out and work for me and work for the Lord as they did. And we found all kinds of examples. I mean, there's poplar there, and there's red oak there. And we put just a little bit of varnish on it to try to beautify it up. But as we did, you know, wood always takes differently. This wood this morning, this right here is another piece of poplar, and you can see how it handles the finishings. Well, some of it's dark, some of it's light. Which one are you? In fact, you see some of this wormy maple. You see that? It's wormy. We'll get to you in a minute. You ever been wormy? You need to be dewormed this morning, amen. Then this right here, this is my favorite one. I like that beautiful color, don't you? That sap pulling those minerals through its system. We'll call this a buckeye, buck elder. You see that? Isn't that beautiful? That beautiful red. But don't be mistaken. It's full of little holes as well where boring beetles has tried to get into it. So we'll put this over here. This is my favorite one because I like that red on that tree, don't you? I like that. What it's pulling. I mean, let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost supplies you with just what you need. And some of you, thank you, Lord, some of you have been specifically gifted in certain areas. You have specific gifts. And it may be that the sap in you is pulled in a mineral called a gift of giving, or maybe it's a gift of ministry, maybe it's a gift of helps. I mean, there are many things that you're gifted with, and the sap running inside you, it may be purple for royalty, it may be red representing his blood, but I'm telling you, the sap has supplied you with the minerals. Hey, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The Spirit of God is your life. He is your vitality and your helper. I mean, when we look at you, we see a tree and we see beauty, but we can't credit it to the tree. We credit it to the root system. We credit it to the sap that's working within. Amen. Last of all, and I'm done. I want us to think fifthly about the activity of sap. The activity of sap. We talked already that it supplies water and nutrients and minerals through the sapwood from the roots to the branches. So there are three things. There's more than this, but just three things I've got time to mention. First of all, it holds strength. It holds strength. That sap working from within, causing the tree to flourish, there's no doubt the sap is very active. But have you ever seen a tree that was dying in the top? And the top's dying out in the tree. It's because the sap is not going all the way to the top of that tree. And therefore, the tree will die in the top and it'll have to be cut out. Let me say this to you. See if I can get a witness here. They put a cedar tree, a bunch of them, in a perfect environment in a dome. And they perfectly fed, gave nutrients, fertilizers, all the things that that tree would need to grow. And for years, that tree became majestic in that dome. I won't say in what state it's in, but let me tell you what happened. For some reason, that cedar tree started dying in the top. And the scientists were called in, and all these arborists were called in to try to figure out why that tree was not getting the nutrients at the top. And you know what they figured out? It's what they said. Because it wasn't receiving any wind. It wasn't feeling the wind. The wind is a type of the Spirit of God. The wind blows where it listeth. Hey, are you in a place where you can feel the wind blow? And you feel the Spirit of God breeze through where you are, amen? Because if you're not in a place where you're feeling the Spirit of God breeze through your soul, you'll die out in the top. Perfect environment. Perfect situation, but dying in the top. Preacher, why is wind important? See, the wind, when it causes a tree to move left and right and forward and backward, what it's doing is it's causing little fractures to come inside the tree. And what the sap does, the sap, when it feels the fractures, it runs to that place to provide extra nutrients and extra water to that place that's hurting to help it. Oh, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right there. How about you? I'm telling you, every now and then, when the God needs to blow us out of what we think is right and let him have his way, amen, and let the Spirit of God come to that place and help us through. Amen. We need to be feeling the wind. So the sap, it holds the strength. Next of all, it heals the scars. Now, as that sap flows from the roots to the branches to the leaves, it builds up carbon dioxide. And this carbon dioxide builds up pressure within the tree. And if the tree is ever wounded, what happens is the pressure will force the sap to come out of where that wound is. It will ooze from the tree. You know what warmer weather does to sap? Warmer weather will produce pressure within the tree, and the sap, we'll say, the sap gets in. The sap comes up, amen? Hey, when you get in the right climate, amen, and you get under the heat of the preaching of the Word of God, under the heat of the praying and the praising of God, it'll cause the sap to want to rise up in you. And every now and then where you've been hurt or wounded, it might just ooze out of you. That's what we call I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is overflowed. Even in a time of disaster, even in a time of hurt, we can still be sappy. During cold weather, what happens then? Well, when temperatures are freezing, the tree is pulling water through the roots, and that's the only way it can replenish the tree sap. But this will continue to happen through the root system, providing sustenance to the tree until it gets back in the right climate. It's a seasonal thing. Have you ever noticed there's ups and downs of this deal? But trees typically do not leak sap. Now, there's some like a sugar maple, and I ain't got time to preach all that. But I want to give you three things quickly that causes scars or wounds to the tree. First of all, there are pests. Pests that'll wound the tree. Pests like boring beetles. Pests like fungus and worms and mold. I'm telling you, what happens when the boring beetle comes and gets into the tree and then tries to get in the sap, trying to cause the tree will die. You've seen trees that are dead trees not because the wind blowed them down, but when you look, well, I can't believe that windstorm blowed that down. That little bit of rain caused that tree to trip over. No. It was something that was going on inside that tree the entire time. I want to ask, what's in the sap? It's supposed to be the Spirit of God. And we've allowed ants and worms and all kinds of pests to get in that place. But here's the thing. When those pests, when that person with a critical spirit attacked you, when they were gossiping about you, when that hurt came to you, man, preacher, I just can't go on. I don't know how I can lift my leafy arms and my branches to praise him anymore after how bad I've been hurt. I'll tell you how you can do it, because every place a beetle, a boring beetle hits and the worm gets a hold of, the sap comes to that place. And he's double and he's triple powering, amen. And he's trying to energize you and get you to lift your branches back up to praise his holy name. If you put a nail inside that tree and you wound that tree, you understand what the sap does? It flows extra there. You pull that old nail out, and what it'll do, some of you guys that try to split wood, it'll become a knot. It'll become a hard place. Why? Because all the sap that went to that place is, amen. The sap, the Holy Ghost is there to help you when you've got pests coming again you. Again, I want to ask you a question. Are you all bark and no sap? Some of you are. You say the Holy Ghost is in there, but he's not materialized himself, and you don't know when. You've not been in a place where you can feel the breeze of the Holy Ghost, and you don't know when. Well, preacher, I'm here today. It don't look like the Holy Ghost is blowing around some of these areas, amen. I'd like to see the Holy Ghost get in your branches, and you get stirred up and say, well, bless his good name anyhow. Well, there's pests. Second of all, there's pollution. Pollution. It can severely impact the life of a tree. I might just call it this morning sin. You're just going to live in sin and pollution. You're not going to be breathing what you need to breathe. You're going to quickly die out. And then last of all, there's pruning. Oh, now I don't like pruning. You know, when the owner of the tree says that tree has got too big for his trunk, and he brings out the divine scissors and begins to hack things back in your life. And when you prune a tree, you're going to begin to see sap come to that area to help become a healer, to help solidify things again. I want to just for a second talk about this pruning. You realize there's things in your life that has come that is stealing your victory. It is robbing you of joy. It is robbing you of your prayer time, of your time to be faithful to the things of God. And I'm just going to go, are you listening to me? I'm just going to go ahead and go out on a limb right now and tell you that the pruning is coming. He's going to cut back on some things in your life, and it's going to hurt you. Ask the tree, he'll say, ow, ouch, ooh, that hurt. They'll even bleed sometime. In fact, I want them to put up the picture of a tree we found that was a bleeding. Look at that one. Wow, it's been wounded. It's been hurt. That tree is bleeding. But you know what's happening there? The sap is coming to the hurt. The sap is coming to strengthen the tree. The sap is coming. I would remind you, there was one who died on a tree, who was nailed there on that tree, that you and I might have victory, that we might triumph in all things of our life. You know why the pruner comes? Because he wants you to bear fruit. Have you ever seen an old apple tree and you prune that old apple tree back? And when you do, it hurts that old tree. It stood for years and years. But when you prune it back, next year it's blossoms, and the next year its fruit is even bigger than it ever was before. It tastes better. You get a red delicious. Where I come from, Henderson County, you talk to them boys over there that prune trees. Hey, you know that it's just possible to graft a crab apple and a red delicious. And listen, and the red delicious take over qualities, but way out there on the edge of the limb, it'll have one little crab apple. That's what you and I are prone to do.
Well, I know I'm full of sap, and I know I got the Holy Ghost, but he's preached on 12:15.
So what the master of the field will do, he will come to his orchard and he'll trim back where that old crab apple was. And guess what will happen next year? It'll blossom red delicious and it'll bloom and it'll bear fruit like it's never bore before. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Amen. Preacher Darren, what happens if it's not doing well? He says, cut it down. These trees here are all examples of trees that have been cut down. Now, none of y'all was weeping about it. None of y'all was sad. Evidently, it wasn't your tree that got cut. But when your tree, the master of the forest, comes and says, lay the axe to it, whoa, aren't you glad that Jesus comes and says, wait a minute, let me work with it another year. Let me dig around it. Let me give it some fresh dirt around here. Let me dung it. Amen. Let me work with it. And if it don't bloom, if it don't blossom, if it don't bear fruit after that, then you can cut it down. But give me an opportunity to work in its life first. Hey, I'm glad, praise God. How many times has God's great axe set up against your tree, ready to chop you down, and Jesus come by and said, Father, would you wait a little bit? Let me work a little longer. Let me dig around it. Let me dung it. Let me let the sap start flowing inside it. Hey, so it don't have to be cut down, that it might stand and lift its branches to glorify your name. Amen.